Welcome to Yours, Mine, and Ours. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach and an MBTI practitioner. Over the last 15 years as a coach, I've worked with individuals and couples, and I help people to understand themselves better because it's only then that they are able to truly accept others. And that's the key to connecting with others in a profound and meaningful way, creating peace within yourself. First, in my show, I discuss important life questions with my listeners. Questions like, what are healthy relationships made of? And what makes a relationship truly successful? And what does a successful relationship even look like? Relationships are a dynamic between two people that consist of a three-part connection between them. There's a physical part, and a mental part, and an emotional part. But there are actually three different elements to a relationship that involves activity on each of those three different levels. The three elements include the two individual people separately because they each have their own physical and mental and emotional composition. But the third element is the entity of what they create when they come together. That's separate and distinct from each of them as individual people when they're apart. They actually change when they're together because they have combined to create a unique dynamic between them. So the goal of my show is to help people learn how to become better individuals, individually and separate from any other person in the world, as well as to understand what goes into bringing out the best in others when they join together in a relationship. That's in their relationships with lovers, as well as friends, and family, even coworkers and strangers. So it's time to understand what's mine, what's yours, and what's ours. Welcome to the show. Today we're going to be talking about how to set yourself up for personal success. That's what creates the foundation for success in relationships. Life will inevitably present challenges and obstacles for people, and we all have to be able to accurately identify what those challenges and obstacles are in order to successfully overcome them. That's challenging, but it's not impossible. And then identifying where and when different people in your life can and should be a part of your process of your success is very important. Think about it and ask yourself, how often are people part of your personal game plan in your life? How often do those people know that they are a part of it? And how often are they glad to be that for you? You might actually be pleasantly surprised. The show is going to help you identify the several different kinds of challenges that people commonly face, as well as provide a description of what specific tools and resources would be the most helpful for you in each of those common situations. You might actually be surprised at what you have, because by the end of the show, you will have taken a real quick inventory and you'll understand a little bit better what those things in your life are and what to do with them. Now, we're going to open up the lines to listeners during the last few minutes of the show for people who want to call in and ask questions. And we're doing it this way today because the questions that someone may want to ask while listening to the show could actually be answered in another part of the show a little bit later, so they wouldn't even need to ask a specific question. But keep a pen and paper handy. While you're taking notes, you might want to mark something down that you could call in to ask later. And the number for listeners to call in is 888-627-6008. Okay, so we're going to be covering more than the usual amount of information in the show today, but starting out, there are two things involved in overcoming challenges in your life. The first one is identifying the real challenge you're facing. That requires looking at what I like to use as an acronym, the tip of the iceberg, T-I-P. That's the topic, then the issue, then the problem. And the second part is knowing the tools and resources that you need to have at your immediate disposal and constant access to before the challenge ever even appears. Knowing what purpose those tools and resources serve in order to fully maximize them and what they can do for you is the key to helping you improve the quality of your life. Some of the most common challenges that people face include things like staying motivated, avoiding loneliness, positive thinking, maintaining focus, low energy, and negative emotions. Okay, so let's start with the first part. Just figuring out, identifying what's the real challenge here. Now, sometimes it can be really tough just figuring out what the problem even is in the first place, is because things in life are multifaceted and they're interconnected and people are complicated and situations are confusing. So sometimes you just need to start with a game plan of how to be able to see what the actual problem is, even in the first place. Think of it as starting with the tip of the iceberg, which I mentioned before. The acronym of TIP is T-I-P. A negative experience has a topic. That's the immediately negative experience. That's actually just the context of the problem versus the issue. Why it's a challenge, that's totally separate from the subject. And then there's the problem. That's the true source of the challenge. Going through the topic, then the issue, then the problem is the way to truly know what you need to do, because it's going to help you see clearly what the real challenge for you is in that situation. And that can be done in any situation. I just love to say this. Men often struggle with women because what's being argued about or seeming to be the problem in the relationship is actually not usually what's wrong. So when they want to fix what's wrong, they're unsuccessful and they're frustrated, and they can sometimes create more problems than trying to fix the original problem. they just want to be told in simple terms what the person that they love wants and needs. They'll do it, and they'll do it generously. But women often struggle most because they don't want to give themselves the time and energy that they need in order to truly take care of the problem, which oftentimes is taking care of themselves. Okay, let's look at an example. This actually happened. This is a live story now. At the grocery store, a couple shopping doesn't have enough money to buy the things they want for the week. Their debit card was declined. Okay, the wife's getting angry. She begins to ignore her husband. He asks her a question about the price of the bread, and she snaps at him, embarrassing him in front of the other customers and making the cashier very angry, and the cashier gets more irritated. There could be several different things going on. That's important to figure out before a problem can be effectively solved. Well, is the problem that the couple just didn't communicate effectively about the budget earlier that week? They need to go over the numbers again when they get home. Or is it the wife is angry that the world now knows about her inability to buy food because she was always judged as a young girl for being poor, and this is bringing up some issues? Or is it that the husband is constantly being irresponsible with family funds, and she's tired of it, and she's been thinking about divorce recently, and you know what? This was the straw that broke the camel's back. Or you know what? Is it just that the wife didn't get enough sleep last night? She forgot that the money was in the other account. She used the wrong debit card, so she needs to go home and stretch and relax and take a 30-minute nap. She'll be fine when she wakes up because she'll remember that the money's in the other account. Okay. Yes, having to choose what food to put back is irritating, but it's also potentially something that someone could just apologize for and move on. Whoops, sorry. Okay, we'll put this back. We'll put this back until we can get the right numbers here. The negative behavior of a wife in public is something completely different from the numbers not adding up at a cash register. That's a totally separate issue from the original problem. Well, but what's the topic? What's the issue? And what's the problem? The way the couple handles the wife's actions will be based on being able to identify the difference between the topic in that situation, which is not having enough money in that moment, and the issue. Actually, it's because she didn't rest well the night before. And the problem is the wife is having anxiety over her sister-in-law getting pregnant. And so even though she was asleep that night, she really didn't get any quality sleep. So her headache made her get an extra shot of espresso in the morning, and the caffeine made her confrontational. That takes time and patience and effective communication and willingness to be able to identify the actual problem, not the topic, not the issue. The wife needs to be able to take a few minutes to really examine what's going on inside of herself. Then her husband needs to take more than a few minutes to listen to what she needs and respond to it in a loving and supportive and insightful way. So, once you've successfully identified that little detail of the actual problem, then what? We're going to take a quick break, and after we come back, we'll go into taking an inventory of what you have in the way of resources and how to use them effectively to solve your problems. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and this is Yours, Mine, and Ours.
BBS Radio.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and today we're talking about the importance of knowing what you need in a difficult situation and then always having it available to you when a challenge presents itself in your daily life. Before we took a break, I gave the example of someone being upset about a personal life challenge that she was experiencing and how it ended up affecting something else that had nothing directly to do with that challenge. So now we're going to go back down the list of common personal challenges that people experience in daily life and how to be equipped for when they present themselves. The list included things like staying motivated and avoiding loneliness and negative thinking, as well as losing focus and then low energy, and probably most commonly now, powerful negative emotions. Okay, so the first one, the key to staying motivated when you're reaching your goals. I love to do this with my clients as a coach, setting up milestones and preparing rewards. The definition of a milestone is a stone set up beside a road to mark the distance to a specific place. It's a visual way to know where you are in the process of reaching your goal. A milestone can consist of an object or an event marking a significant place or change. Personal milestones are important in the process of personal growth because depending on the physical or symbolic distance to someone's ultimate goal, it provides confirmation along the way before you hit the finish line of reaching your goal, whatever that goal may be. The important thing to remember, though, is that a milestone needs to be close enough to another one or to the destination in order to sustain a second wind momentum, but far enough away from the other stones to push someone just outside of their comfort zone. Presenting a challenge doesn't mean overwhelming someone. Placing those milestones is very important. It's a very intricate process. Now, there can be up to 4 milestones between where you are now and the place you would define as success. If success is too far away for 4 milestones, to help you maintain your personal momentum, the process may need to be broken down into smaller steps. Some people would call them baby steps, but that can feel degrading to certain personality types. Okay, so we're still going to call them milestones. The trick being between being close enough to sustain momentum and far enough away to push you out of your comfort zone is understanding that there are some things that the human body is just naturally inclined towards. Something being challenging doesn't mean it's overwhelming. Okay, so like a basic example of a healthy goal would be to lose 50 pounds. 4 milestones to reach that goal would be 12 to 13 pounds. That's 4 milestones. Well, you know what? Sometimes 12 pounds, that's a little even overwhelming for some people. So it's okay to break that down into 4 smaller steps of 3 pounds. Now, breaking a goal down is an important opportunity for positive reinforcement with the feeling of personal fulfillment. But then in addition to the natural happiness that occurs with success, sometimes a healthy, predetermined secondary reward is especially helpful. Celebration is very good for self-esteem. So the most important thing to keep in mind when rewarding yourself and motivating yourself with those milestones is that a reward needs to provide the pleasure and satisfaction of a positive experience without canceling the work that was done, undermining the progress that was made. So again, that takes a lot of forethought and consideration before the goal is ever reached, right? Some examples of healthy and constructive rewards including going to a movie or having a coffee with friends. It's not too expensive or time consuming. Going to bed early one night without interrupting any important responsibilities or obligations. One drink of alcohol. Buying your favorite organic fruit or vegetable that you might otherwise, you know what, feel guilty spending a lot of money on. Or watching an enjoyable television show, uninterrupted by work and the people in your life. Or purchasing an article of clothing, especially if it's relevant to your goal. Or a massage, even just a nice bath. Going to a sporting event with friends. A project for you to consider is write down two specific personal goals that you may have, calculate what would be good landmarks on the road to reaching those goals, and then choose three healthy rewards that you are comfortable giving yourself that you can choose just one from each time you reach a personal landmark. The second topic was avoiding loneliness. And how can we do that? I tell my clients, set up a personal support system. That involves accepting that everyone has distinct personalities that provides them their own natural individual strengths, making it easier for them to do things for people. And when they know that other people have their own strengths and talents, they're willing to give of themselves. Some people are great at offering emotional support. They're able to help others work through painful feelings that can be overwhelming. Those are intuitive feelers. Others are willing to help people get things done, things that people might not have the time or resources to do themselves. Those are sensory perceivers. Then there are people who can come up with creative solutions to problems when a mental block has occurred. They come up with a brilliant game plan or an ingenious idea. They're intuitive thinkers. And still others love to give moral encouragement and positive reinforcement, support needed to stay focused and keep going. Those are sensory judgers. For this activity, start with four lists of five people that you know and personally interact with at least once a week. Get to know their personalities. Let them use their greatest skills and talents and gifts and strengths to help you succeed. They would love nothing more than for you to come to them for the opportunity to help you, giving you the amazing gifts and talents that they have a natural abundance of. When they watch you succeed because of something that they have provided to you, you are making their life better. You're doing as much for them as they are doing for you, and their positive energy and healthy behavior around you will make you better in the process because what they're giving you is exactly what you need at exactly the right time. Ask yourself honestly, if you knew you had an abundance of personal resources that you had constant access to, would you even use it? Not everyone would, and not everyone is comfortable providing this kind of help. Since not all people are comfortable receiving it, you may first just need to get comfortable with the idea of reaching out for help. If you know you have that challenge, go ahead and accept it and work through it. Now, each of these lists, the emotional, the physical, the mental, and the moral support, all of these lists need to consist of at least five people because not everyone has a lifestyle that makes them available all the time. And not everyone is always in an immediate situation that gives them the freedom to help, even if they really want to. So for each person on each different list, come up with the name, the phone number, and the email address. It's an opportunity to build and strengthen relationships with people in your life right now, people you might never have taken the time to look at in this way, or time to personally tell people that you see them in this way. Your compliments and gratitude will be greatly appreciated by the people. Just hearing you say that, don't ever underestimate your power to change someone's life by allowing them the opportunity to make yours better. Okay, so questions that might be able to help you determine which list the people in your life could go on. You know what? If you have 30 names and you're like, okay, I don't really know. I'm kind of drawing a blank here. Okay. First of all, how do you know this individual? How long have you known them? How much interaction do you currently have? How are they currently supportive to you? Do they know that you feel this way? How would they define your relationship? And what's their contact information? Okay, so when you know you have that, at any point you actually need help, you can reach out to them. A third challenge we face, negative thinking. You know what? Especially in the world we live in, the things we see on television, the things we hear through the media, negative thinking is becoming very common. So one of the best ways to conquer negative thinking is positive thinking, affirmations. The definition of an affirmation, to affirm something, is to state as a fact and assert strongly and publicly. When you affirm something, whether it's a thought or a feeling or a belief, you are restating it as an undeniable fact. You are saying that something is an absolute truth out loud. Publicly could even be defined as in front of yourself, as long as it's out loud and with force and confidence. A lot of professionals in the mental health industry use this as a form of self-brainwashing because studies have shown that when people hear words coming out of their own mouth, those words have a profound and lasting effect. That's good words and bad words. Now, while others' words are very influential, like as a support system, a person's own words have an even stronger effect. Science has also shown that the human subconscious does not understand the concept of no. So when it hears information, it simply accepts it as a fact. Even when a person may be trying to say something positive, if they say it in the form of, this bad thing is not true, the brain doesn't understand it in a literal way. So it's important to not say things in a not way. It always has to be proactive and factual, positive. The human mind proactively puts everything that it has been given to use, even the bad thing that you may have just mentioned. Your mind and body will use it in some pragmatic way. This could include just making it a single piece of a complete thought or idea that you will soon have an opportunity to use in a tangible way in your daily life. So it's very important that you constantly provide an infinite amount of positive information to your mind. Eventually, your subconscious is going to take over and force the information that it's being given back into your conscious, your conscientious. You will soon begin to wholeheartedly believe what you have said, perhaps without even realizing it, because you are going to be acting on it as your subconscious gives you the instructions to, whether you're conscientious of it or not. Okay, so affirmations are a very powerful tool that, when used correctly, they can generate incredible results very quickly in every area of your life. So some rules for making an affirmation effective. Always phrase it in the present indicative tense. Keep it short and simple. They need to consist of highly complimentary statements about wonderful things that you are and do. Write a minimum of 10 affirmations on a list, but they need to be proportionate, a ratio of 1 to 3. In the 1 to 3 ratio, one statement needs to be a statement that you completely believe, without a doubt, you already know for a fact that it's true. One of them needs to be something that you suspect it's true, but you sometimes kind of doubt. And the last one needs to be something that you don't believe at all, but you would give anything to have it be true. Just knowing that the brainwashing that you're going to be doing for yourself by saying it out loud enough times would make it true is reason enough for you to put it on the list. What do you want to have or do or be more than anything? Write it down and say it out loud. Now, again, that's 3. For some people, they're going to be thinking, no, that's 9. I either do 9 or I do 12. Okay. Well, the extra one can be your choice. You need to have at least 3 things that you know are already true, 3 things that you wonder about, 3 things that there's no way that's true. That extra one, depending on how you're feeling, at that point in your life will determine which of those three categories the last one should fall under. Okay, so then shuffle the list of statements so that they're randomly placed. Have at least 7 copies of the complete list strategically placed throughout your general environment so that they are a permanent fixture in your daily activities. You see them repeatedly as you go through your regular routine. Even if they're discreetly concealed from the general public, you still know where they are. Sometimes I have people put them inside a cupboard that they frequently open. Say these statements out loud in a casual way at random times as you are doing daily activities. Then also have a set schedule you also routinely use to recite the affirmations. No matter what's going on in your life at that time of day, other things can wait. This is not negotiable. Keep a copy of a list physically with you at all times so that in the event that you feel a need for immediate positive reinforcement to cancel out negative thoughts, it will be easily accessible to you at all times. Read the whole list out loud at least 5 times daily, more as needed. You'll know if you needed more than that. Say the whole list out loud until you completely believe each and every statement. As many times as it takes for that to happen, that may be for up to 15 minutes, depending on how you're feeling at the moment that you start, but have several emergency, and that may mean private, depending on your personality, places in your world, at home or work, where you can go to recite them out loud, uninterrupted, if negative feelings begin to manifest within you. Even if you're crying, continue to say those statements out loud with conviction through your tears. If you are stuck on one of the statements, just can't quite convince yourself that it's true, keep going through the whole list out loud until you do believe that one last statement. If you say it out loud frequently enough, your mind and heart will stop resisting. Some common affirmations are, I am healthy. I have peace. I am strong. I am blessed. I am happy. I have abundance. I have love in my life. I am successful. I am confident. Stick to the rules listed. There were actually 14 of them, and continue to add and remove statements as you need to. Self-growth is an ongoing perpetual process, and just remember to always keep the ratio at 1-3. Okay, how about maintaining focus? Just getting through daily life, staying focused in order to stay productive. Well, daily checklists create habits. Now, generally speaking, lists are more enjoyable for J personalities than P personalities. We'll go into a little bit more MBTI next week. But judgers just like lists in general more. But lists can be helpful for everyone because they provide a sense of focus for people, especially if they're going through a change. Since it's always a challenge to make changes in life, a list can help you remind yourself of what you need to do daily. It also provides positive reinforcement because each time you've checked off an item on the list, the fulfillment that comes from accomplishment is a reward in and of itself. But people also do well with checklists for the additional reason that lists help remind them that some things are simply important to some people and the world that they live in more than others. And whether you agree with those people or not, there are some things that just need to get done. And you might need to rewire yourself into getting those things done, even if they're not important to you, because in the world, they're important to other people. Now, I say, people, you need to keep that ratio at 1-4, consisting of the following 4 kinds of activities that you need to do throughout the day. One constructive thing that you already do consistently that doesn't demand a whole lot of excessive thought or effort that you are very proud of. And every time you do it, that's going to be positive reinforcement. One thing that you do well, but you need to be reminded at times to do, that makes you feel good when you've done it. One thing that you do sporadically because it's challenging and requires concerted effort, it will build your confidence when you've completed it. and one thing that you currently don't do at all but want to start doing regularly. It would make you incredibly happy if you did it. Checklists need to stay at that ratio. For every single personal challenge you experience, you need to have three personal confirmations. Positive reinforcement is vital, and it takes 21 days to form a habit. Doing something repeatedly and consistently for 21 days puts something onto a level that you might have felt uncomfortable with before. You know what? Now you're going to be uncomfortable if you haven't done it. You actually can start to rewire yourself. We're going to take another quick break, and after we come back, we'll go into restoring your energy, managing your negative emotions, and we'll also be opening up the line to our listeners for anyone who has a question about the information we've covered on our show today. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and this is Yours, Mine, and Ours.
BBS Radio.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and we're talking about overcoming personal challenges in daily life and equipping yourself for success. What things like low energy, just plain feeling bad, happen very, very frequently. You know what? The lifestyle that we have, negative energy is created just in daily activities more than it did 20, 30, 40 years ago. So low energy is something that people really need to pay attention to. The solution to that is give yourself a shot in the arm. Now, a shot in the arm is something that people inject when they need energy and strength in order to keep going. It has an immediate effect because it goes directly into the bloodstream. It's very helpful to have when you're struggling and you need to continue. You need some help to continue. In the process of working to become a better person, you'll inevitably have internal and external challenges that will drain your energy. They will demand your energy, which is mental and physical and emotional. Your personal struggles and issues can take a lot of work to manage. Your physical environment can be overwhelming if you live in less than ideal conditions. Various social situations can manifest other people's personal issues that you might not really be equipped to handle effectively. Taking care of yourself in this healthy way will help take your focus completely away from anything or anyone negative that you're currently feeling exhausted by, and it will help you get personally recentered. Restoring your energy and focus and stability in this way will help you become a healthier, more productive version of yourself, at which time you can go back to whatever you were doing before in a better quality state. So some rules that I like to give people for energizing include: keep any objects that will be used in a place or circumstance where you can have immediate access. Don't use any activity or object more than twice per day. Do not spend more than 10 minutes doing any activity unless it was pre-scheduled and has a specific purpose. Do not spend more than 50% of your hourly pay rate to purchase anything needed for that activity. If you do spend it more, it no longer qualifies as this kind of activity. Do not place any demand or pressure on any other people without their prior knowledge and consent. They must feel prepared if you ask for their participation and support. Do not consume more than the equivalency of 10% of your total daily caloric intake. First of all, you need to know how much you should be consuming every day. Do the math to determine really what is the maximum amount that you should be consuming. And they must be powerful and effective enough to improve your overall, that's emotional and mental and physical condition, by at least 33% when you are done. That is possible. I'll go over some examples of that in just a few minutes. Be predetermined. They need to be specific activities corresponding to specific circumstances so that at the time that you do it, little or no thought is necessary. you will know in each moment, in each situation, these are the corresponding good things that will give me a shot in the arm. Okay? You must be completely mentally separate and emotionally detached from anything negative in your environment, so you will be fully engrossed in the positive activity that you're doing. And then you must immediately deal with the issue or problem that generated a need for a shot in the arm for you within you when you're done. Okay, some examples of energizing activities would be listening to enjoyable music or reading affirmations, stream of consciousness, thinking out loud, a healthy snack in a single serving, affection like hugs and kisses and touching from dear loved ones, sensory stimulation generating an emotional response like smelling the hair or the body of someone that you love, stretching the back or arms or legs to get the blood flowing, walking around the block on a good weather day. Yes, that is kind of a detail. Prayer or meditation. Positive social interaction, like fun or encouraging statements on a website or in a text message. Just sending a joke to a good friend, knowing that it'll make them laugh. A game or activity on an electronic device that has a specific time limit, maybe not on the actual game itself, but one that you could preset before you start. Looking at pictures that stimulate positive emotions. Non-pornographic, that's a little clause there, okay? Writing in a journal or a diary. Okay, so write two lists. Write one list of 10 specific common situations when you need energy and strength, and then one list of 10 things that you can have and do that give you the energy and strength that you need in those different situations. Have all of the things needed for those activities ready and accessible. And finally, I saved it for last because it's my favorite, managing negative reaction emotions, channeling those negative emotions in a positive way. Now, we can all agree, humans are capable of experiencing very intense negative emotions. The severity of an emotional experience can be overwhelming if someone is not prepared to deal with the experience and address their emotions proactively. Three of the most common, critical, and perhaps misunderstood human emotions are anger and fear and anxiety. Now, when humans feel anger, it's because their mind has discerned that something very wrong has already occurred and it needs immediate attention. Something needs to be addressed, corrected, or eliminated. The hormones and other chemicals that accompany their thoughts give people the strength and endurance and the volition to do the work necessary to identify and fix their problems. Often, it's the issue of a moral boundary that has been violated. It has reached a point for a person that it can no longer be rightly ignored. And if you do try to ignore the issue, your body is going to continue to create intense feelings and graphic thoughts and biochemical reactions. It's a motivational emotion that's going to continue to motivate you until you take action. Well, how about fear? When you experience fear, it's because your mind has discerned that something very bad, potentially threatening to you, is in the process of happening. You are now unsafe. While it creates a biochemical process similar to anger, it actually changes your mental perspective and justifies a survival mode type of behavior. You genuinely believe that your existence is at risk, so thoughts and feelings are intense for the purpose of self-protection. This is a critical emotion because it gives more access to your subconscious and potentially more resourceful or creative options than what you would have otherwise conscientiously, proactively considered before. And then we have anxiety. When you experience anxiety, it's because your mind has discerned that something very bad or potentially threatening to you could eventually happen. It's not in the process of happening yet, like fear. It hasn't already happened, like anger. Anxiety is about what could happen. If you address the issue, you can avoid that possibility of that threat coming to fruition. This will prevent the potential damage that would occur if it ever did. It's very stimulating because people don't always see the inherent value of taking action until a problem or a disaster has already occurred. But the human body and mind are prepared with extra energy and chemicals that's very beneficial and helpful because if they are used effectively, people can be proactive and constructive in taking preventative measures. This makes maintaining peace internally as well as your external environment more realistic. All three of the described emotions are very healthy and they're important and they're useful in helping you to create success and maintain happiness in life. Unfortunately, since all three of them generate such intense mental and physical responses, in addition to the feeling itself, a person can easily become overwhelmed just by the experience of the emotion. The initial inclination may be to deny the feeling or to avoid the feeling or to bury the feeling. It's actually your reaction to your reaction that generates many of the avoidable problems that occur when negative feelings happen. Often as a result, the primary trigger of the reactive emotion is never effectively addressed or resolved. The emotion itself becomes the primary problem, not the focus of the resolution. For example, your personality combined with your personal life experience may have taught you to be afraid of your anger. Or you may have observed that someone important in your life became angry when they were anxious. Or as a survival mechanism, you may be anxious about your fear. But more often than not, people simply intensify their emotions when they don't address them, which exacerbates the original problem because it's never effectively resolved. So, to prevent that from happening, it's best to directly address the reaction emotion that you're having at the time that you're having it, work through the emotional response, release the biochemical process. That way you can resolve the real issue in a healthier way, in a more peaceful state. We're going to open up the lines to our listeners now. As I keep talking, if anyone has a question that they want to ask, they're more than welcome to. After thinking about what challenges you face most in life, if you'd like to ask a specific question, the BBS number is 888-627-6008. And I saved the emotions for last because I want to give my listeners a really important project, a personal project. During the day, in the process of experiencing any of the emotions that I described, pay attention to the direct cause of it, what immediately happened just before it occurred, and then the environmental situation that facilitated it, and then your reaction to your reaction. Okay. List three of them at the end of the day and note in detail what you experienced and what you learned from that experience and that emotion about life and about yourself. What is the emotion? Really? You know what? We're going to be talking about next week about when you have trouble identifying the actual problem in the first place, because that is going to happen. How to go down the checklist, because sometimes our negative emotions compromise our ability to make that determination. Okay, so now when you're having a problem, ask yourself if the problem that you're having is just my personality. This is hard for me because it's something that demands a use of my lower function. If that's the case, you're always going to struggle. If that's just your nature to not do that activity well, you need to know what that activity is to prepare yourself for the challenges that something you got to do in daily life, something you're not going to want to do, something you're never really going to want to do, and you're never going to do it well, and you're never going to enjoy it. Okay. Now, do you need a shot in the arm when you do it? Do you need your support system set up? Do you need a checklist to keep yourself on track? Yeah, you're definitely going to need some rewards for getting it done. Or is the problem that you're having you know what? It's actually about you, not the activity itself. You actually need to take care of yourself first. Once you deal with whatever is going on inside of you, to you, if you take care of what that is, you get yourself back up to 100%. That problem actually isn't even a problem. It doesn't have to be a problem. You taking care of you was the only real problem, and your performance is immediately going to improve. Or is it an actual issue, something that needs to be addressed? You can address the problem in a proactive and mindful way. Once you have eliminated, okay, you know what? This is just not me. It's not something I like to do. And it's completely okay that I'm having a hard time with this. I need to work twice as hard to only do half as well as everybody else. No, actually, that's not it. This is actually one of my higher functions. Well, it's because I haven't slept in 2 days. No, I've gotten a good sleep. I've gotten my exercise. I'm eating well. No, this is something that needs to be addressed. I need to get some professional help. Maybe I need to get pharmaceutical help. Maybe I need to talk to a professional just even to figure out what kind of help I might need. We're going to go ahead and take one last break. And when we come back, we'll cover a few more things that sort of summarize and bring all of these points together, really setting yourself up for success. My name is Gabrielle Cardona, and this is yours, mine, and ours.
BBS Radio.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. The phone rings. You don't recognize the number on caller ID, but decide to answer anyway. The person calling says a good mutual friend gave him your number and told him that if he ever gets lost in the city where you live, you're a great person to ask for directions. Your friend was right. You know the area very well and love to help people. So when this person asks, how do I get to the beach? I have friends and family waiting for me. Can you help me find my way there? Your immediate reaction is to say, sure. You know all the street names and landmark buildings, the local businesses in the area, even a few of their owners personally by name. You're willing to help this person, but know that in order to give him accurate directions, you're going to need some information first. First of all, there are three different beaches in the area, and this person hasn't actually told you the specific name of the beach that he's looking for yet. That's a pretty important detail. But before you ask him that question, you think about something else. He's currently lost, so you have no specific starting point either. When giving directions, the current location is just as important as the destination. When he tells you the name of the beach that he's going to, you get the feeling you might already have a fairly good idea of where he is. Since it's common for visitors to get lost in one particular part of your town, it can be sort of a confusing place for non-residents. But just to be sure, you decide to ask for a few details about his immediate surroundings. He describes what he sees all around him, including street names, large billboards, and restaurants. But none of what he's saying sounds familiar to you. Gosh, you know, you don't even have any idea where he is. That's certainly cause for concern. Then you suddenly have another thought, an additional factor. It's a question that might not even occur to most people to ask, but could determine if / when he ever reaches a destination. How is he traveling? That's kind of an important detail. If someone's driving, he needs to take a very different route than if he is walking, and a bicycle would change the journey altogether. A potentially quick and easy way to a place on foot, maybe a back trail through the nearby woods, could put a car in a rather frustrating situation. But what would be ideal for a car, like the wide open interstate, would put the life of someone on a bicycle in constant danger. So where do we go from here? In the pursuit of personal growth, people often reach out for professional help. They're looking for guidance and direction in their lives. When they feel lost, they seek advice from people who are considered experts in their field. Perhaps these experts have successfully helped many people. If someone has consistently helped people, they must know what they're talking about, right? Well, many experts claim to know where the beaches of happiness in life are. They may even claim to know what true happiness is. They ultimately claim to know the way to successfully find it. And these are all definitely good things to know. The only problem, happy can be very different for everyone. Different things make different people happy. Sometimes, believe it or not, happiness isn't even at the beach. There is not one universal thing in life that's guaranteed to bring everyone the same kind of happiness. That can be an overwhelming fact for some people to accept. Determining the goal of what you want is often a challenge in and of itself. Then figuring out where you currently are in your life can be a lot of work because it takes time and energy and insight to determine. Depending on how deep people are in the forest of their lives, the trees around them may limit what they're able to accurately see. A counselor may need to dig deep into the mind of a person, analyzing his or her life experiences and feelings to better clarify that information before they give them specific instructions or advice. Doing this until they find something resembling an emotional or mental landmark that they could identify that can be very time consuming. So it's a vital thing to know, and it may soon become the primary focus of the discussion. The goal never even happens simply because finding yourself can be the real challenge in the process of self-improvement. If you're fortunate enough to know where you currently are in your life and you know and understand how you ultimately ended up there, that means you've successfully dealt in a healthy way with potentially very weighty issues that might have created problems for you in the past. That's great. Congratulations. Or if you're quite certain about your goal and you know most of what reaching it will involve, that means you have your destination clearly in view. Great. You're on your way. But what about that other little interesting detail? What could be described as the way you travel through life? Your general modus operandi. That's your personality. Science has consistently shown that humans are in fact born with a personality. Even before they're born, humans have a disposition and a consistent identifiable behavior pattern. Technology can even measure things that people didn't know about before to prove this and to reinforce it. Next week, we're going to be taking a very close look into functional order of Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Personality Profile System. A lot of people have heard about MBTI. They know the basic letters. I've gone over it in a couple different shows, but we're going to be looking very closely at your functional order of your personality. So when you call in next week, if you have questions, because I already have people on LinkedIn who are ready to talk about that, go ahead and take notes again on the difference between extroverted thinking when it's tertiary as opposed to when it's dominant. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Can't wait to see you next week. We'll be here the same time, same place. Always remember, yours, mine, and ours.